And 3-2-1, hello, Borgen Project volunteers. The world's humanitarian aid system is going through something like a corporate restructuring. Fewer players, bigger checks, and a lot of pressure to prove it's all working. Let's start with the number, $250 million. That's what the State Department just handed to Catholic Relief Services, one of the few in a new wave of grants that are going to groups Washington considers, quote, trusted and vetted. The money will fund food, health, shelter, water, and sanitation programs in places with serious needs. The Democratic Republic of Congo, Ethiopia, Haiti, Nigeria, Sudan, and will also fight an Ebola outbreak that's currently in the Congo. It's part of a broader pattern taking shape at state. Instead of spreading money across hundreds of small grants, the department is increasingly writing fewer but much larger checks to a short list of hand-picked organizations. Efficient, perhaps, but it means a shrinking circle of winners in the aid world. Meanwhile, philanthropy was supposed to help fill the hole left by collapsing government aid budgets. It isn't, it can't, and at least not yet. Official development assistance dropped by nearly $50 billion in 2025. To cover the gap that size, global philanthropy would basically need to quadruple its international giving. Foundations are giving more and new donors keep showing up, but the money is concentrated. The Gates Foundation alone accounts for half of what the top foundations give combined. Now a fight that's been long simmering, but just got louder. Ultra-processed foods. Public health researchers are increasingly borrowing the playbook once used against big tobacco. The American Journal of Public Health published a collection of essays laying out the case for treating ultra-processed foods like cigarettes. Warning labels, marketing limits aimed at kids, taxes, and even litigation. Now, here in the United States, ultra-processed foods already make up at least half the average diet. And companies like General Mills, PepsiCo, and Kraft Heinz aren't just staying put. They're expanding fast into the emerging markets, where sugary, salty, and convenient products are replacing traditional diets. Doctors in these countries are now seeing spikes in type 2 diabetes, obesity, and certain cancers that simply weren't showing up before. Back in Washington, there's a policy idea with a name only a development wonk could love: domestic resource mobilization. Translation: helping countries collect their own taxes, manage their own money, and eventually need less foreign aid. It's the golden thread running through nearly every USAID administrator's tenure, but nobody pushed it harder than Mark Green, who ran the agency under the first Trump administration. Now Green is back, leading the One campaign, and he's reviving his journey to self-reliance, which matches the administration's American First foreign policy language. Now that's simple in theory, but it's brutally hard in practice. Raising taxes is unpopular even in wealthy countries, especially poorer countries where it can really hurt. Already struggling citizens over the edge get pushed too far. And it only works if governments actually deliver services in return, which, let's say, is not a guarantee. Money's moving again in the humanitarian world, just through fewer doors, with higher stakes, and a lot more scrutiny than before. We'll keep tracking it and see where it lands. I look forward to speaking with you next month.